Well, if you've been coming along more recently, one of the things that we love to do as a church community is, at the start of each year, is have a Bible talk that engages with the vision statement of this church. And the reason that we wait to do this until February is because if we did it in January, a lot of you simply wouldn't be here to hear it. If you're around in January, for Canberra, for the most part, seems to be mostly me and tumbleweeds. A lot of people go away visiting family and to the beach, and so that's why we wait till now. And we have a talk that engages with our church's vision for the same reason that your car has a windscreen. Because being able to see the direction that you are heading is not just helpful for when you're driving, it is also helpful in church land as well. It'll not only be helpful for those who are new here to hear what we are on about as a church community, but to also help those who have been here a little longer, just help ensure that we're still on the right trajectory, particularly now that we're in two campuses or two locations, because the bigger you get and the more locations you have to manage, the easier it is to lose any sense of direction. So that's a little prelude as to why we do this. But before we get into it proper, let's ask for God's help as we do this together. Please join me as I pray. Father, right now we want to praise you for all the opportunity that a new year brings and for the blessing of being part of a church family. We are family because the relationship that you started with each of us through the blood of your Son, it leads to a relationship with each other. And so we ask that you would use your word now in our time together to show us everything that means as we seek to honor him as the church community. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, as you just heard, today's talk will engage with the vision of this church. And seeing as though that's what we're doing, I thought I'd start out by making it a little fun. Hopefully, it'll be fun. I want all of you to imagine right now that this is the very first time ever that you walked into this church. Now, for some of you, you won't have to imagine it because you quite literally walked in here for the first time. Yep, we've got a few nods of heads there, so it's going to be easy for you. But those of you that have been coming here for your long-termers, as I like to call you, some of which longer than me, you're going to have to use your imagination. And the reason why I want to start out like this is because one of the things that we do with our newbies, or those who are newish, is a course called Belong. So let's just pretend you've walked in first time, been greeted by the welcome team, found a seat, and been convinced by hopefully a friendly member of our staff team to come along to Belong. And so here we are, Tech Desk. If you can please light up the front page of our front cover of the Belong course, if not already. And look at that. She looks excited to be here. Amen. Who said Presbyterians do not raise their hands? Hey, even we have to change the odd light bulb every now and then as well. All right, next page. Then on to page two, you'll find one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible when it comes to what church is. Romans 12:5, which says, "So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So if you want a Bible verse that speaks to why you belong here, it's hard to go past this one. Amen? All right, next page. And this now brings me to our Belong courses, our table of contents, and looky here. Look at what's towards the top of the list that we want you to know when you first walk in. After we welcome and encourage you for coming here, the next thing that we want you to know is, you guessed it, our vision. So Tech Desk, can we please turn the page again to what Mount View's vision statement is, to the single sentence that should be steering our direction as a church. This defines what we want to be as a community, and it is. Our simple vision is to be a community living for Jesus, showing his love to all. And so this church and its trajectory, if this church and our trajectory were a giant arrow, this is the bullseye that we are trying to hit. Because a community living for Jesus and showing his love to all, that's what we are trying to become more and more. And just before we get into unpacking why that is from the book of Colossians, let me share with you a brief story that hopefully illustrates the importance of having a vision, however simple. Well, many of you know that part of my role is to attend a lot of meetings within other churches as well, who are within our region. Sadly, many of these churches are in a bit of a state of decline, and when you're the guy that has to come in, try and help the situation, one of the first things you do is you run some forensics on how it all got there. And what I've noticed is that when you ask the leaders of a church that's in a situation like that, typically the leaders will struggle to answer the question, what is your vision? Which means one of two things. Either they've lost sight of it, or they don't have a vision, and the result is the same. And what observing this again and again over the years has helped me to see is we need to have a vision. And this should come as no surprise, because someone far greater than I said in Matthew 15, if the blind lead the blind, then both will fall into a pit. This is why if church leaders, if they have no vision, what tends to happen is they keep going round in circles and keep falling into the same old pits. For instead of holding hands and then leading their congregation, leading their people in the same helpful direction, they tend to just keep on walking into each other instead. And a church where everyone keeps bumping into one another not only keeps getting on each other's nerves, they will have zero chance of saving anyone in their surrounding community for Jesus. That's a strong thing to say, but the reason I say it is because if their windscreen keeps fogging up with their own internal issues, and therefore the people who are already there find it hard to be there, then what motive does that give anyone new to come in and join them as well? And any church that's not growing for God's kingdom through saving people for Jesus because she is so consumed by her own conflict and issues, she has lost sight of how she has been commissioned by him. And this means she has lost sight of the very reason that she exists. And so my hope for our time this morning is that God is going to use his word to get us excited about the vision of this church, excited for what we are on about as a community of people in the coming year. So now that we've established why churches should have a vision, let me help you see why ours of wanting to be a community and live for Jesus, showing his love to all, is more than a nice idea. I'll give you four reasons from Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20, on why we are obligated to do so because of who he is and what he did for us on the cross. The first reason to live for the Lord Jesus is simply because he made you. And I get the fact that he made us from our Bible reading, and this seems like an appropriate passage for a talk about our vision. For as you just saw, our vision statement is all about Jesus. And Colossians 1 gives us one of the clearest visions of who Jesus is and what he did in all of Scripture. Verse 16 tells us the first thing he did is that he made you. Verse 16, for in him all things were created. And in case anyone's wondering if Paul really meant all things when he says it, he assures them that is precisely what he meant by adding the following list. In heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created not just through him, but for him. It's an incredible verse. Amen. So Mount View, let me be clear, if it weren't for Jesus, you and I would simply not exist. None of us would even be here. That's what that verse is saying. And because our lives were created through him, the verse rightly concludes that our lives are to be lived for him. And this is also helps us understand why there are so many people out there who are miserable. For when you try and live for a reason that is something other than the purpose for which you exist, life gets really hard and miserable. I remember once seeing an old guy use a meat cleaver, of all things, to once do the edges of his front lawn. True story. Now, this is a job that probably would have taken most of us about 2 minutes if you had to use a whippersnipper, but it literally took him all day as he's hacking with the edges of the lawn under the hot sun. The result was a handful of blisters, sore back and knees, and to top it off, his lawn looked like a war zone. It was horrible. Now, serious question. Were meat cleavers made to do the edges of a front lawn? No. And this is why both his experience and the result that day were so miserable. But he tried to use something for a purpose different to why it was made, and therefore not what it was meant for. And what is true of meat cleavers is also true of human beings. For sure, you can try and live for something other than the Lord Jesus. You can absolutely try and live for things like the weekend, your sport or ATAR, your appearance, your following on social media, a romantic interest, having kids. But just don't be surprised that you end up living a miserable experience. Because according to verse 16, none of those things are the purpose for which you and I were made for. And don't mishear me. It's not that any of those things are not important. It's just that he and not they are what you and I were made to live for. So this is the first reason that we should want to live for Jesus as a community, that each one of us was made through him and for him. And the second reason is related. That he also sustained you. He did not just make you. And I get this from the very next verse, verse 17, where we read, he is before all things, and in him, here it comes, all things hold together. So what Jesus does for you is so much more than make you. He also sustains you. Or as the language of verse 17 says, along with everything else, he holds you together. You know, this means that he didn't just make you like one of those toys that's got a crank in the back and then you wind it up and then just let it go and he waves you off and says, good luck. No, he keeps holding you together. You know, it'd be like not living for him, but kind of be like the equivalent of an ICU patient on life support who unplugs their machine, says, nah, I'm good, as they try and get up and say, all I need is some Panadol and a Band-Aid, I'm just going to try and walk this thing off, right? That'd be crazy. This is what it's like trying to live apart from that which sustains your life, and what is true of a life support machine is also true of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't just make us, he sustains us. All things are held together in him. So there's the first two reasons we want to live for him, and here comes the third, that he is the head of this church. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so if you were to see an org chart of Mount View, the person at the top It isn't me. It's not Isaac or the elders, or it's not going to be Ben when he starts with us tomorrow. Great to have him with us. It's Jesus. He is the one right at the top. He's the one that gets that office with the ensuite and the parking spot right out front. He's our boss. Because he alone is the head of this church. This is why whenever someone walks in and asks something like, are you the lead pastor or are you the boss here? I go, no, that's Jesus. I'm kind of like middle management then at best. I often joke that I'm the complaints department, and there's some truth in that. You know, the big boss here is Jesus. And to use the imagery of verse 18, because he is the head of our body here, this is yet another reason that we must live for him. You know, I'm no doctor. I realize we've got some doctors in the house, but I'm just going to take a guess that it's pretty hard to live without a head. Amen? Is that correct? There we go. However many years at uni, that was a good guess. So this is the third reason again. He is our head. We are his body. And I'm going to give you one more beautiful reason, powerful reason that we want to live for him. Colossians 1. Before we then move on to how we can show his love for all. And that is, fourth reason, live for him because he died for us. That is how he saved us. I get this from the next two verses again, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth, things in heaven. And how did he reconcile all of those things to himself? Finish the verse. By making peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. So get this, church. Out of everyone that you and I could have picked a war with, we chose to pick one with God. And we did that when we made the decision to disobey him in sin. And when God is the other guy who is on the far side of the battlefield, this is clearly not a war that you and I are going to win, let alone fix. And just as God pulls the trigger, you know, his son walks into the middle of that battlefield, carrying a cross, lifts himself up high so that he is the one who takes that hit on our behalf. So that the hellfire that was coming our way, it completely rained down on him. And he did that, as we just read, so that both sides of this war would then be reconciled. So that despite our sin, we could have peace with God through his son's blood shed on that cross. And so, church, if Jesus doing that for you does not compel you to then live for him, we've got to ask ourselves, what will? Because he didn't just make us, sustain us, head, or rule over us. He also saves us, which he did, dying for our sin, so that we would respond through living our entire lives for him. Not just as individuals, but as an entire community here. And so there's just four biblical reasons among many more that drive the first part of our vision. Four reasons for why we want to live for him, and seeing why that is much more than just a nice idea. And if you want to know how you can do that, how you can actually live for him, then I would encourage our tech desk to now move on to the next page of our Belong course as we turn on to our mission statement, which spells out how we intend to achieve or reach our vision. Where our mission statement says right in the middle, the way that we live for Jesus is through serving each other, our city, and beyond. In other words, get involved. For not only is serving part of what it means to live for Jesus, the one who served us all by going to a cross, but it also plays a major role in fulfilling the second half of our vision to show his love to everyone. So what I wanted to do now in the limited time that remains is just to quickly run through some of the different ways that you and I can do that here. So you can consider each of these ministries as a Jesus showing love opportunity, because we want all of you to use the gifts that God has given you to participate, not spectate. We had a futsal illustration before. Be a player, not a spectator, if church were a futsal game. This is why I should think out my illustrations before I give them. All right, first one is by showing Jesus' love through serving one another. I've been doing some marriage prep courses or sessions with a young couple over these past few weeks. And this week we looked at how God defines love. So we opened up 1 Corinthians 13. This is the famous verse in the, or chapter in the Bible on love. And I pointed out to them in the original Greek that every word that the Apostle Paul uses there to define love is actually a verb. It's not a noun. It's very hard to see in the English because the words can go both ways. And so I asked them, if God uses verbs rather than nouns to define love, then what does that tell you about biblical love? And the groom-to-be, without even flinching, said that love is defined by actions. In other words, love does stuff. And I was like, A+. Grammatically, that is exactly what it means. And what's even more on point for us here is 1 Corinthians 13. It's not actually speaking about love between a couple. It's speaking about love demonstrated between each of us, a church community. And this means that if we are going to show Christ's love to one another, that means doing stuff through serving one another, because as we just heard, love does stuff. That's biblical love. For we're not going to have any shot at reaching our vision of showing Jesus' love to everyone who's out there if we're not even showing it between us in here. So if you're not serving this community, we hope that you will see this message, this day, as a great opportunity to think through how you might start doing that. In John 13, Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you. That's how everyone will know you are my disciples." You know, it's convicting me again of that chocolate illustration, right? Gotta love people, even with chocolate. And he said that just after he served them by washing their feet. Now, you'll be relieved to know that we don't have a feet washing ministry here, not yet. But we do have a whole bunch of other ministries you can love others here through joining. And so if you are not yet currently serving on one of our ministry teams, we would love for you to pick up one of these cards, which you'll see on the table in the foyer on the way out, and fill it out. If you flip it over, there'll be a bunch of boxes with the different ministries that we're involved in, which you can tick and just put it in the letterbox there. And what we will do beyond that point is then put you in touch with the respective team leaders. All right, this leads me to a second and related way that we can show love to each other, and that is by getting on board with the MAG team. Now, what's the MAG team? If you've been away over summer, let me fill you in. MAG team is short for magnification because its ultimate goal is to magnify God. Now, the Bible uses a word called exalt, but we use magnify because the word exalt isn't one that we tend to use much anymore, particularly the young people. Hands up if you've used the word exalt in the last 12 months. There's always one. Are you young? No, just joking. What the MAG team will involve, well done, good to use biblical language. The MAG team will involve is we want to get together everyone who is serving on any given Sunday here at church early and over at our Jera campus as well. And not just those serving up front, but we want everyone who's serving on that Sunday, whether they're Sunday school teachers, welcome team, morning team, to get here, I think, half an hour early. We're still working that through. And we realize that that is a significant impost on your time. So just hear me out first. We want to do this. We want to be gathered as a community, shoulder to shoulder, and talk through and pray through for everything that's going to happen in that service and around that service as well together. We want to be gathered as a people praying for the teachers, our kids, our musicians, our visitors, the elderly, the preacher, the sound engineer, the morning tea, those on the coffee machine over at Jarrah, you name it, if we do it, we want to pray for it. And we want to do this because we see it as both a tangible expression of our connectedness and our interdependence, as an expression of the biblical reality that when we serve here, we serve as many members of one body where everyone who serves is indispensable. This is the point Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 12, so that they and the teams that they are served in would feel valued and supported, not siloed. And your initial thought may be, well, if I've got to get here early, how's that going to work? I'm busy, I've got kids, and believe me, we get it. But just humor me for a minute. Imagine this. Imagine the impact of your kids witnessing you up front, shoulder to shoulder with everyone else serving here, praying for them, one another, and everyone who comes, that together we would all magnify our great God. And imagine your kids get to hang out and connect with all of their kids as we do it. My guess and my hope is that's going to help and not hinder their Christianity. And imagine the effect on everyone else and visitors when they walk in and that is what they see too. Men and women, shoulder to shoulder, young and old, all deeply connected, praying together. Who then have the opportunity to check in with one another after they have finished and then briefly come together after the service again to give thanks, pray, reflect, and help each other develop because they are united in their ultimate goal, which is one thing, to magnify God. Who wouldn't want to be part of that church? I want to be part of that church because that is a church that shows love for one another. And together, I want to encourage you that we can be that church, which is why we think it is very worth it getting to church here early. So we want to encourage you as we send out info on the MAG team to see it as a blessing and not a burden. And let me now move on to the next way that we can show love, and that is to join a growth group, which is just our word for Bible study. Because a lot of what I've described doesn't just have to happen on Sundays, it can also take place midweek as well. This is why we want to encourage you to join one if you're not already in one. But coming back to 1 Corinthians 12, which says the church is a body and it, you know, illustrations some of the eyes, some of the hands, some of the heads. Again, some of you might be the shoulder that others need to lean on, or they might be the shoulder for you. But neither of you can do that midweek if you're not part of one. So coming back to Colossians 1 verse 10, it makes it clear that one of the ways we show love is by building each other up and growing in our knowledge of God. And there is no better place to do that as a growth group because there's not just learning from God's word, there is learning from one another as we connect through the ministry of presence. And church, that really means something. Ministry of presence, just being there, you know, showing love through listening, learning, and sharing as we connect. And as you can see on the screen, we've now got something like 15 different Bible studies that you can be part of that meet pretty much most days throughout every week here in Tuggeranong, across Canberra, and over around Jarrah. We're going to be interviewing two of our growth group leaders next week so you can get a better idea of what they are like. All right, now in terms of showing love beyond our four walls, let me give you one vital way that you can do this, and I'll finish with this, and that is through teaching scripture in schools. There's a bunch of us here and over at Jarrah that teach scripture in our local public schools, and I caught up with one of the coordinators in these past few weeks, and she was saying, you know, the problem isn't that the schools are not willing. She said, God has pushed that door for us wide open at the moment. Praise him for that. The problem is that we do not have enough Christians who are willing to teach. Just let that hit you for a moment. Imagine that, you know, non-Christian kids miss out on hearing the gospel and hearing about Jesus, not because government policy stopped it, but because there weren't enough Christians that were interested or made themselves available to do it. And that is the sad situation that we are in. And if you would like to know more, then I would encourage you to see one of us up front, and we'll put you in touch with some good eggs that can help you with that. So church, that is our vision. Thank you for listening. To live for Jesus and show his love for all. And by God's grace, may he help us reach that in the coming year. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you again for the Lord Jesus, for who he is and all that he has done for us. We just in awe of him after looking at these verses in Colossians, that he is our creator, he is our sustainer, he is our head, and of course, he is our savior. We are sorry for the times that we lose sight of that. We are sorry for the times that we take that for granted. But we thank you that we can be honest about our sin, that we can bring it to him to receive his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, and of course, his love. So Father, may we be used by you to show his love to each other and to all in the coming year. And we pray this in his name. Amen.